Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
A couple of weeks ago, I received an email from a ministry that puts out a newsletter, and sometimes I just quickly glance over those things, you know. And this one caught my attention, and I read it, and it's just stuck, one of those things that stuck with me to use as a measurement for myself in my motives and whatever I'm doing to make sure that I line everything up with these four things. And it's under the heading BHAG. BHAG. And I just say this because this may help you. This has nothing to do with what I'm planning on sharing tonight, but it's free. It won't cost you anything. To measure your motives and what you're doing. This is something you can do with anything that you're doing in your life and say, now, God, this is what I want. B, I want you to be exalted, like we were just singing. I want you to be exalted. May you be exalted in this. Be exalted in tonight's service. I was praying that earlier. Lord, you be exalted. And here we sing, be exalted. H, have your way, God. Have your way. I'll step out of the light. I'll step out of the front here. Have your way. H. That's most important. Have your way, Lord. A. Accomplish your goals and your objectives, God. Accomplish your goals and your objectives. I may not know what God's goal and objective is in tonight's service. I may think I do, but I may not. But I'm giving God the permission to interrupt and mess up anything I may have planned in order that he would accomplish his objectives and his goals. And then finally, B-H-A-G. G is God gets all the glory. If there's any success, if there's any achievement in our life from this whatsoever, we have to make sure that we do not take credit for ourselves. We have to lay those crowns at his feet, and we give God the glory for everything. And if we keep those four things before us in everything we do, it's the measurement behind every service that we have here, or everything we do, from the food ministry to prophetic ministry, everything we do. If we make those things, those are the markers. God's got to be exalted. God's got to have his way. God's got to accomplish his goals and objectives, and God gets the glory. Then you know what? God can bless that. He said, I can bless that. And he will. Amen. At the end of the service, we're going to have about 10 minutes of prayer for the sick. And I believe this is what the Lord's directing for every Wednesday night service for until he deems to change it. But we're going to have time where I'm going to ask different people to come up and pray for the sick folk. And if it comes to the time of about 7:30, because I do want to respect the time of rehearsal tonight too, if you need to continue to pray for folks, they're waiting in line or whatever, then we'll move over to the multi-purpose room and the counseling room, and we'll continue to pray for folks as long as you want prayer. Amen? Y'all look like you need a laugh tonight. Okay, do you need a laugh? I don't remember jokes very often, but I Danny Harvey caught me in Walmart the other day. And if you know Danny, he's always got a joke. You know, so I remembered this one because it's easy to remember, so I'll tell you a little quick joke, okay? There was this lady who was at Walmart, and she stole a can of peaches, and she got caught. You know, they got security cameras everywhere, so she got caught. And so the police came, and they arrested her, and she gets put in jail, and she has to go before the judge the next day, and the judge says, did you steal those peaches? And she said, yes, I stole the peaches. I admit it. He said, well, okay, how many peaches were in that can? She said, I think there was four. He says, okay, that's going to be 4 days in jail. Her husband was there with her, and he raised his hand kind of sheepishly and asked if he could speak on her behalf. May I speak? And he said, well, certainly. She also stole a can of peas, Your Honor. Give credit to Danny Harvey for that one.
Now you sound alive.
Hey, Sunday morning, I alluded to a prophetic word that was given for our church. It was given for me, but it's also given for our church. And I want to read this to you folks on Wednesday night because it's critical that we receive this. I believe this is a word from the Lord. And this word of the Lord is this. It says, you will not see signs and wonders until you expect them. And you will not expect them until you lay yourself aside and seek to know me as I am in the book. Preach Christ and him crucified and resurrected, and you will see miracles. Stir yourself up. Confess with your mouth the truth you have received and believe to be to a lost world. God is not static. What he gives us is always, whatever he gives us always grows. It increases. Expect that. But the key part was, you will not see signs and wonders and miracles until you expect them. I took extra time over the weekend, I think, to just talk with the Lord about this word. And I fully expected a lot more than I saw happening at the moment. But I also walk away with the assurance that I don't always see everything that goes on. Many times there are things that happen in people's lives that we don't hear about, and we do need to hear about these things and give God the glory. When there's a healing in your body, or someone gets saved, or there's a chain that's broken off of you, demonic bondage or something, then you need to give God the glory. There needs to be testimony time where people stand up and they testify and give God the glory that he deserves. And not to do that is robbing God of the glory. Maybe it's a miracle of provision. Maybe whatever it may be. But this church is a place where there's going to be many, many testimonies of miracles and signs and wonders. And guess what? You're it. You're it. And you're the vehicle that God is going to do all these things through. So what do we do when we come to a time, let's say we have, like Sunday, we pray for the sick and we call the sick people forward and we lay hands on them and we pray over them and we declare over them. What happens if someone says, well, we've done everything we know to do and we still don't see any results? Well, first of all, you haven't done everything. You haven't done everything. The Bible tells us, makes that very clear in Ephesians 6:10. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. So first of all, you got to make yourself strong in the Lord. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, okay? And put on the whole armor of God. And having done all to stand, stand. And so there has to be a time where there's a stand that has to be made. I'm not budging. I have the word of God on this. I have God's guarantee on this. This is his promise. This is his word. It's sure a thing. I don't care what anybody else believes. I'm taking a stand. So don't say you've done everything, because you need to check that out. You may not have. Maybe it's just your moment to take a stand. So when this time comes for you to take a stand, you got to go back to the ABCs of walking in faith. And the ABCs, are, you already know them. A, abiding. We're told to abide, okay? Abide in faith. Abide in his word, and his word abiding in us. And it means to maintain this constant relationship with God. Talk to God. Fellowship with him. Not just when you think about it in the morning when you pick up your Bible, but seek his guidance about what you're supposed to do. Keep the lines of communication open so that you're ready to hear whenever he's ready to talk. So abiding. B, believing. Believers believe. We must stay in belief. We must keep believing. It's present tense, ongoing action. It's something we do every day of our life. We don't stop believing and start believing. We keep believing. Abiding and believing. Keeping yourself in hope. Keeping yourself, your faith alive, even when it looks hopeless. This is your moment. Like Abraham, for example. Abraham, the Bible says, believed God in hope against hope he believed. How about that? In hope against hope he believed. And he believed God. God was a God that calls things into being that are not. That's believing. My God can call things into being that are not there. And he also believed it for 25 years, a promise that God gave him about having a son. And the Bible says he grew strong in faith. He grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, how do you grow strong in faith, giving glory to God, when you're waiting 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 years for a promise that hasn't come to pass yet and manifested? How do you do that? Somebody tell me. With your mouth. With your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth is either strengthening your faith or weakening your faith. It says during that 25-year period, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. How do we give glory to God? You'd already heard of it. Testifying what he's doing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Testifying about what he's doing. He grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was fully able to deliver. Amen. And so that's Romans chapter 4, verse 20. So the A's, B, and the C. And the C is confessing. It's vital that you listen to yourself, the words that come out of your mouth. Jesus said, Mark 11, 23, he said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he what? Says. Shout it out. What he says. What you're saying. That it's going to happen. That means at this particular moment, there's no sign of it that it's happened. But you're saying it because you're believing it is going to happen. And you will see it. This is vital. If you're going to be people of faith, if you're going to walk in faith, if you're going to see miracles and signs and wonders, you got to know how to take a stand when the devil puts up his best defense. You got to know how to take a stand and come against all the negativity, all the naysayers, all the doubters, because there's plenty of them around, even in the church. And so we need to make a good confession, because confession brings about the possession of what God promised us. So God's calling us. When we come to those moments where I don't see anything happen, we have to abide, A, B, believe, and C, be confessing what God is saying. Why does it take so long? We've prayed, we've believed, and we don't see anything happening. Well, there may be a reason for that. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience. How many need patience? Raise your hand. You have need of patience so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive what's promised. Listen, God is not on our day timer. We're on his. He has a time for everything under the sun. He knows what he's doing. Have you ever had an experience in your life where something was arranged? You met somebody at the particular perfect time, or funds came in at just the right moment or just the right amount, or something happened in your life that you look back and you say, that was ordained of God. And you didn't sense that you were being led before that in any strange way. You didn't have goosebumps or anything like that. You weren't hearing anything in particular, but then it happened. And that was God just showing you, I've got this. I've got this. So we have need of patience. That's why we have to abide in faith. We have to keep believing God's word is true, and his word is more real than what I see. And confessing that with your mouth is vital. It's vital to walk in anything that God has for you. Now, should we go to doctors? I'm not against going to a doctor's, but here's the vital key is be Spirit-led. Be led by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit in you, and your Spirit mixed with the Holy Spirit, will lead you and lead you in the way of truth. There's a time you should go to a doctor. If nothing more than just to get peace of mind that, hey, no, it's not cancer, you're okay. There are times that God will lead you. But there are times that people go to doctors when they shouldn't go to doctors. And when they go to doctors, when God's not leading them to go to doctors, they get medication to put in their bodies that they shouldn't be putting in their bodies. And then it causes side effects. It causes other things, and everything else happens in your body. Or it affects your body in a bad way and brings harm to you. That's why you have to be Spirit-led. What do you mean be spirit-led? Ask God. God, what do I do about this? Should I go to a doctor? I'm asking God directly a question. God will lead you. I don't know if you know a man by the name of King Asa in the Bible. King Asa, it says, died in his sickness. It says he died in his sickness. And it tells you why. In 2 Chronicles 16:12, it says, King Asa died in his sickness because he sought not the Lord, but the physicians. Are you listening, church? I don't want that to happen to any of us. You seek the Lord. It's not wrong to go to a doctor, but you seek the Lord first. And when people put all their faith in a doctor more than in God, it becomes idolatry, and God will never bless that. And on the other hand, there was another king in the Bible, King Hezekiah. And he had a sickness, and he was dying, and he sought the Lord. And because he sought the Lord and not the physicians, he lived. Hallelujah. So the first thing you do, if there's a sickness or a disease that's in your body, is it you ask God, what do I do about that? That sounds so silly to say, but you need to tell the church folks this. You need to ask God about this first. That's what you need to do. He's as close as your breath. And so make sure that you don't, and also God will show you, have you opened the door possibly to this? Have you opened the door to something? Have you allowed the enemy to come into your life through something that you shouldn't be doing? And the Lord will make that clear to you. Now let's go to communion time for a moment. Communion in church, you know, the bread and the juice. The scripture says, 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. But he eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not discern the Lord's body rightly. That's very, very vital. Vital. Let a man examine himself. Not to examine everybody else, we're to examine ourselves. When we come to the Lord's table, it's a time to take it very seriously and very reverently. We are called the body of Christ, the church. The church is the body of Christ. And as the body has arms and hands and legs and eyes, this is called everybody who's born from above is the church or the body of Christ. And God is concerned that his body needs to examine itself every so often, frequently. And when he examines himself, he needs to make sure, is his body in agreement with itself, with the Lord? Is your body in alignment with God? Is your body in agreement with the rest of the body? Well, that means there's no unforgiveness. That means there should be no bitterness. That means there should be no ongoing anger issues. That my life is lining up with the agape of God. And I correct things. When I examine myself, I quickly find, whoa, I'm out of alignment here. Yeah, I know I'm bitter about this. I'm angry. And I just get honest with God as I come before the table, the Lord's table. It's the time to correct that. It's the time to say, God, help me. I've been angry and I shouldn't have been. I've been unable to forgive this person. I've had an addiction or whatever it is. This is the time to get real with God. Don't just become religious and go through, oh, just take the cracker and take the juice and walk away and think that's some sort of a magical potion in your life. That's not it. No, it's the time to check yourself. Am I lining up with the agape of God? God's called me and commanded me to walk in love. And I'm going to do it by his grace. That means we're going to be tested. And some of the most mean, cantankerous people in the world are going to get in your face and call you names and curse you and do mean things to you to see whether or not you're going to obey the commandment of love. So we're the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, there are people at different levels. Some people are brand new babes in Christ. they're new. They have to have the milk, and they haven't walked with the Lord as long as you have. And therefore, they got maybe some issues. They don't, may not even know certain things in their life that are bad for them. They need people who will love them and nurture them and not judge them, but help them and disciple them to become more spiritual. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, it says, "Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in love." In other words, the spiritual people are the mature people in the spirit who've walked with the Lord long enough. They know the commandment of love is upon them. They know the grace of God is upon them. And that when they see somebody who's not walking the spiritual walk, they'll go to them in love and discernment and minister to them the correction that they need. That's love. Have you ever had somebody come to you in love and bring correction to your life? It's a sweet, beautiful, it's not a harsh thing. It's not a mean thing. It's a sweet thing when somebody comes to you in the Spirit of the Lord and helps you see something. You say, "I just didn't notice it. I wasn't aware I was coming across that way. I wasn't aware that I have a blind spot." And so all of you Wednesday night people, you've been coming to church for how many years? Just shout it out. Long time. To the point where we ought to be spiritual enough to restore a brother or sister when we see that they're out of alignment in the body of Christ, because they're going to hurt themselves and they're going to hurt other people. And we're here to help. So that's what we're doing. We're to be spiritual. What happens if we refuse communion? You say, "Well, I'm just not going up and receiving communion because I know I got some issue in my life and I'm not ready to deal with it." Or we partake of communion without judging ourselves or examining ourselves. Well, 1 Corinthians 11:30 is very clear. "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." He's talking about death. People die before their time because they don't judge themselves. Something gets in them, a root of bitterness. It's not taken care of. It's not dealt with. And they cover over it and they ignore it. And it gets worse and worse, and it causes other physical problems in their body. And many times they die of disease that God was ready to take care of a long time ago, but they wouldn't examine themselves at the Lord's table. Are you with me? The communion table is an examination table to ward off a lot of sickness and disease that's out there in the world. What is out of alignment? What needs to be repented of? Repentance just means to change your mind. What do I need to change my mind to think like God's mind? I don't want Satan to have any place in me. So let me examine myself. Holy Spirit, help me to examine myself and show me if there's any wicked way in me. And He will. He's faithful. And communion is a good way to keep short accounts with God. That's why you should do it as often as you do this. It's up to you. Do this in remembrance of me. So there's this communion elements. Let's talk about that, the body and the blood. The body is broken, it says. "My body was broken," Jesus said. Why? His body hung on a cross. What is that an example of, or what is that a symbol of? Jesus' body hanging on the cross is a symbol of the curse. Where all sickness and disease comes from. It comes from the curse, Deuteronomy 28. All sickness and disease comes out of the curse of sin. And Jesus' body hung up on the cross. Right before going to the cross, He said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." He tried to ask us if there's another way out of this. "Father, is there any other way?" And then He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done." And he was broken before the Father to do whatever the Father wanted. And His body was broken. Not a bone was broken, but His body hung on the cross, taking our curse, which is sickness and disease, the result of sin. So when we take communion, when you take the wafer or the cracker, it should be said to you, or you can say it to yourself, "The body of Christ was given for my healing. I remember this. the body of Christ was given for my healing. He took in his body the curse of all sickness and disease so that I don't have to. His body was broken for me. He became a curse. So now I can't be cursed with sickness and disease if he's taken it. See, are you with me? Be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. So the body of Christ is given for you for your healing, your physical, emotional healing. Now the cup represents the cup of suffering, and inside the cup is the juice, which represents the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, 1 John 1:7. So what should we say when taking the communion, taking the cup? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me of all sin. Thank you, Lord. The body hung as a curse for my healing, physical and emotional. The blood given for the remission or the forgiveness of all my sins cleanses me of all sin. Now the curse has no place to light. Are you seeing? Why did Jesus institute the Lord's Supper as something we should do often? Why did he say, now as often as you do this, just do this in remembrance of me? He just kind of left it up to the church to decide. Some churches do it every Sunday. Some churches do it every month. Some churches decide to do it every quarter. It doesn't matter. Some people take communion every day. That's fine, as long as you do it properly. Why did Jesus institute the Lord's Supper as something that we should do often? We forget. That's true. Do this in remembrance of me. Plus, he knew that his church, the body of Christ, people, precious people, are made up of some who are more spiritual than others and some who are very immature spiritually, who have to, all of us, deal with flesh and have to deal with immaturity. And that we need to come regularly before the table because the church is made up of all kinds of people. That he knew Satan would viciously attack to cause division and strife and to hinder their effectiveness. If he can get in and cause division and strife in the body, that's like cancer. He can kill a church. He can kill a marriage. He can kill any relationship where he's allowed to cause division and strife. And so regularly, because we're commanded, John 13, 34, and 35, to walk, to obey the commandment of love. That's the only commandment we're commanded to keep. The commandment of love. Because this is the way God loves us. He commands us to love others this way. That means we walk in forgiveness. This means we walk in sensitivity. We walk in preference to other people before ourselves. This is a commandment of love. And when a church begins to do this, they see the blessing flowing in the church. There's no division and strife. There's no party spirit. There's no little group over here and a little group over here and a little group back there trying to cause trouble. There's healing. A healthy church. Now, you're always going to have every church. Eventually, if you don't have it right now, you'll have it eventually. You're always going to have people that come in that try to stir up strife and trouble. Under the guise of being led by the Spirit. Well, the Lord told me this. The Lord told me you're not doing it right or whatever. And you're always going to have that issue to deal with. But that's why if we go regularly to the Lord's table, we'll be prepared for those moments when we come upon them because we're already walking consistently in love. See, we're walking consistently, being aware of, ooh, this is not right. And correcting a brother or sister before they get too far gone and draw the weak brothers and sisters into their little nest and cause greater trouble. Have you seen that happen before, haven't you? But the servant of the Lord must not strive. That means he must not be quarrelsome. He must be kind to all. And this is the servant of the Lord is talking about you and me, all of us. Able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, meaning there's going to be some of those in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, that they may come to their senses, having escaped the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So healing and forgiveness are sins both represented to us in communion. Healing, the body of Christ, and forgiveness, the blood of Christ. And it can take care of all the stuff that we need taken care of in our physical bodies if we let it. Amen? Now, next Wednesday, we're going to have some testimonies. And then beyond that, we're going to talk about elders, and we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. And what is the prayer of faith, and how do you pray it, and how does it work? And we've got tons of stuff to talk about and teach on as far as healing. This is a healing church. We've already had a lot of miraculous healings in this church. Miraculous. And if you've had one here, then we need to know about it so you can testify. And the next Wednesday, we'll have some testimonies about that. And then we'll, Lord willing, move on into the elders and praying for the sick, the prayer of faith. And you'll be surprised what the prayer of faith really is when you hear about it. But right now, I want us to have a few moments left for healing prayer. I want to ask Pam and Joni and Tone and Barbara, would you mind coming? And Alice, would you mind coming? And come on up here. I'll call on different people every week. So don't think that if you don't get called upon that it's not something that I think that you're qualified to do, because I think every believer is qualified to lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. See, Doretha, I'd love for you and Joe, if you would. Doretha and Joe, would you mind coming on up as well? Okay, of course, Keith and Karen, always, you're always, if you'd like to come on up. And this should be enough for this crowd for right now. If you have a sickness in your body, or you have an ailment in your body, or a pain in your body, and Matt, would you just give us a few minutes of some instrumental music in the background, just soothing, peaceful music. Then I want you to come up here quickly, and these folks are just going to lay hands on you and believe with you. Okay. Now, if you already know that you got some area of your life that you just is not right with God, then you need to just stay where you are and just get it right. Repent of that thing and resubmit yourself to the Lord. And ask God to remove the cause of this sickness or ailment, and God will just take care of that for you. And it may be a process because he wants you to consistently walk by faith. But whatever it is, I don't care if it's a hangnail, you know. If you have the faith to believe that you want God to heal you this tonight, then just come on up and let's have prayer for you right now. Just quickly, would you everybody stand to your feet? The Bible says, be it unto you according to your faith. So that's a demand is placed upon you. It's not the demand's not placed upon these people. It's not placed upon anything else. It's placed upon you. Be it unto you according to your faith. You say, I've gone up many times. It doesn't matter. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. Should I go up and have somebody pray for me? Then just come quickly. Just come quickly. And we'll pray for you. And then in a few moments, I'm going to direct this group, if you're still praying for folks, to take it over into the multi-purpose room. Okay? Because sometimes you have to diagnose things. You have to ask questions. That's what elders do in discerning. Okay. Thank you, Lord. The power of the Lord is present to heal. Thank you. Let your healing virtue be manifested as a sign, as a wonder, as a miracle even, to bring glory to your name, Father. Be exalted, Father. Be exalted in this place. Be exalted. Be exalted. Let yourself be exalted here, God. Have your way, God. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in this church. Have your way. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Accomplish your goals and objectives, Lord. What you want done here. Not what I want or what anybody else wants, but what you want, Lord. Accomplish your goals and your objectives. And we'll give you the credit. We'll give you the glory. Now, after you've done prayed for, be sure you watch your words and agree with God. Give glory to God. Don't say something that's not true. That doesn't give glory to God. but just agree with God. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken and smitten of men, cursed of God. But by his stripes, it was not in vain, Lord, that you took those stripes, because by your stripes we were healed and we are healed in the name of Jesus. And we give you the glory for it. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that you have given delegated authority to us who are believers to lay hands on the sick, even ourselves if need be. And they shall recover. We believe, God. We believe you, Jesus. We believe you, God. You sent your word and healed our disease. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yay, God. Amen. You did, Lord. You did. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now we're going to dismiss because I do have practice here. And those of you who are praying for the sick, if you want to continue to pray for them, I'm going to ask if you take them over into the multipurpose room over to your right. And but those of you who are here, just lift your hands and let's just pray the blessing over you. Father, thank you for the blessing. May the blessing of Abraham come upon these people. The blessing that Abraham was blessed with everything. He had riches. He had wealth. He had guidance. He had health. He had favor wherever he turned. And you said that Jesus became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So by faith in the name of Jesus, we declare the curse is lifted and we declare the blessing of Abraham is upon us. We're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out. We're the head and we're not the tail anymore. Thank you, Father. We're above and not beneath. Everywhere we go, people will notice the blessing of the Lord is upon us. We have favor. Good things are coming to us, God. The best days are yet to come. It is true. And we bless everyone that we come across in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.